Good morning. I'd just like to quickly open in prayer for the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your word today would work in the hearts and the lives of all who are present here today. May my words be your words, Lord, and nothing but your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's sermon is on trusting the promises of God during turbulent times. The main scripture we'll be starting off with and jumping into a few others from there is Luke 24, 45 to 49. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, I hope all of you have had a Merry Christmas. Now, though, that Christmas has passed, we look forward towards the new year. For some of us, this past year has been a year of plenty. And for others, it has been a year of trial in the wilderness. But whatever the case may be, we must look forward to this future year and continue to do the Lord's good work in our community. We must be keen to identify the people and zealous to share the hope that we have in Christ with them. Personally, I look forward to this new year, and I sort of set up some things that I would like to accomplish, sort of New Year's resolutions. One thing that I realized as I sat and pondered my personal goals for this year is that I cannot look forward to this new year without a strong desire to be a compelling witness for Christ throughout my work and just regular life. But I also think that it is important to look at the state of the world around us as we look forward to be that compelling witness for Christ. And I think it is good for us to take a look at what the world around us is going through. Our world right now is a world full of uncertainty and turmoil. It seems that we are in a time of history where things change so suddenly that we don't know what to think or how to react. Technology has changed the way that we live, so much so that many of us feel that we can barely keep up. The past 150 years have seen more change than ever before. We continue to grow in knowledge, and now we live in a society that you can take a flight across the world and be in Australia in 15 hours. That would have been foreign to anybody 100 years ago. And man has thought that we can achieve peace and stability in our world through man's inventions, their ingenuity and achievements. But the thing is, when we turn on the news, the world is no closer to stability and rest than it was before this scientific explosion and revolution that we're currently experiencing started. If we look to our neighbors south in the United States, we see much internal conflict going on. Our North American society is in turmoil and unrest. Unrest rises to the top, and it stems from a blurring of morals and an abandonment of God. Canada's laws change like the wind, and there are questions raised about even things such as religious freedom, things that we take for granted that we have always had but are slowly going away. An example would be Trinity Western University was denied a law school simply because they believed in traditional Christian morals. In the maze of opinions where nothing is right and nothing is wrong, society has marched increasingly towards this disunity and turmoil. On the world stage, there is fear and conflict. It seems to be every day when we turn on the news, we see bombings, genocide, fear of war, and the internet and radio waves constantly bombard us with this uncertainty. If this whole world is filled with this uncertainty, where do we lay our foundation in this shifting sand? The world tells us to trust in our material successes or power or even very talented people and individuals. Look to them for answers. But is this the correct prescription for an uncertain world? Can we find peace and uncertainty? If we look to man's solutions, we must only look back a little bit in history to see how they turn out. Short-term results usually can cause a sense of security for a little while, but eventually material success fades, power corrupts, and people ultimately will let us down. If this is the case, where then can we lay our foundation and confidence if everything that we know is shifting? Where can we find peace in this world? This rest is something that the world around us anxiously searches for, and if we cannot discover it for ourselves, we cannot lead others to the rest and confidence they so desire. The answer to the question, where can we lay our foundation and confidence, is found in the one unchanging, eternal God. In God, man encounters rest and hope and steadfastness amidst turbulence and trial. God provides this stability by being true to his word as he gives us promises that we can place our hope in. God's promises are the key to living out our faith in an uncertain world. We can know this because the promises are not temporal, but rather eternal, and have the power to carry us through life. They give us confidence for the present, and they show us that we have a hope for the future. One of the greatest characteristics of God is his eternal and infinite nature. And this is a key attribute that tells us that we can trust in God's promises and rest in him. Throughout the Word of God, biblical authors show that God is eternal in time. Job said of him, "The number of years of his years is unsearchable." Habakkuk exclaimed, "Are you not from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One?" And David, saying in the Psalms, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Furthermore, God is not just eternal in existence, but also God's qualities are infinite in their magnitude. First Chronicles states that his steadfast love endures forever. And David writes in Psalm 100, verse 5, "His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations." Not only is God faithful and loving, but he is all-powerful. For Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 20, that for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. He is eternally powerful. We can be confident in the promises that God gives us because we know his promises and plans will be good as well. For David says in Psalm 112, verse 3, his righteousness endures forever. These qualities show us that God is eternal, infinite, loving, faithful, and righteous, and it follows that his word also endures across all the ages. Psalm 119, verse 89, says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed firmly in the heavens." It is because of these attributes that God uses his eternal word to make covenants with his people. And these covenants last from generation to generation. God makes statements such as in Jeremiah 32, 40 to 41, where he says, "I will make with them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them. I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in them doing good, and I will plant them in the land of their faithfulness with all my heart and soul." This all builds together to exemplify the eternal nature of God and his word. It is because of this infinite nature, everlasting power, and eternal ability that God is able to keep his covenant and his promises that he gives us. Thus, we can trust in the promises of God. For if God is not eternal, how can he promise for eternity? If he is not all-powerful, how can he see that his promises are made true? We have a God that is not only good in how he desires to save us from our brokenness, but he is eternal in nature, so he might save us and establish us in his kingdom according to his will. It is for this reason that he gives us promises in his word. These promises let us know that God will give us hope and that they are good. For they not only promise us for good, but these promises pour out of God's very nature. The words that God speaks to us in the scriptures and that he promises us are not simply words on a page, but they are an extension of who God is. The word of God and the promises laid within it are an outgrowth of his eternal and perfect nature. The story of Abraham and the nation of Israel is a very good example of this. For if we flip to the promise that God made Abraham in Genesis 17, we read, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between me and you, and I may multiply you greatly.' Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, 'Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you. We see throughout the Old Testament that God would fulfill his promise to Abraham. At times, it seemed it would be impossible for that promise to come true. At the time of the promise, Abraham was a very, very old man, approaching 100 years old. And his wife, Sarah, was beyond the years of childbirth. But God, through his power, made a way for Abraham and Sarah to have a son. This promise would have looked equally bleak when the Israelites were under the iron fist of the Pharaoh down in Egypt. But God sent Moses, their Redeemer, to set Israel free and to bring them into the promised land. This was only accomplished by the divine act of God. And he alone was the one that was able to fulfill the promises of his word. Even though Israel was exiled later in the land due to their disobedience, the promise for this everlasting possession of the land rings true. For in our time, we have seen Israel be a nation again. And it's the land that was promised by God. Who would have thought after so many exiles and scatterings and even the Holocaust that Israel could have been made into a nation again? But God made it so because his promises are eternal. The promise that God made to Abraham so long ago still stands today. And the nation of Israel, though they have gone through years of struggle, trial and tribulation, and rebellion towards God, still exists today because of that promise. But intellectually, this is satisfying, knowing that God's promises are always true. But how does that affect us knowing God's promises are eternal? And how does it affect us today? It is all fine and dandy that we read that Abraham's promises rang true, but how do God's promises give us hope for the present situation we live in our lives? First, we must look at Scripture and realize that it is filled with God's promises. Though there are many promises given specifically to Israel and various other characters in the Bible, there are many promises that are meant for the church today. These promises can give us hope for our present situation and confidence amongst the uncertainty of life. The promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the greatest promise that God has given us today. And it is by this promise that we can have confidence. This is because God uses his Spirit to empower, to encourage, to uplift and equip the believer to live a life worthy of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God being given to all believers was a promise that was given by Joel, whose prophetic career was completed much before the time of Christ. He gave the people of Israel hope for the outpouring of the Spirit when he said in Joel 2:28-29, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." Then in Luke, the last words that Jesus says are devoted to this promise as well, for the passage reads, Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Being from Jerusalem, you are witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This promise is repeated in Acts 1 verses 8 when he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This promise was fulfilled in Acts 2 when we see the day of Pentecost take place. We start reading in verse 1 in Acts chapter 2. When the day of the Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided on tongues as fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues that gave them utterance. We see that as a result of this event, throughout the book of Acts, God fulfills the promise that he gave to Israel and the disciples. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we see the disciples spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the entire Roman Empire. With the Spirit of God came great signs and wonders and unction for ministry. But also with the moving of the Spirit came a steadfast spirit of peace and hope that can only be received by the Spirit of God. Paul writes about this in Romans 5:5 when he says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is this indwelling of God's Spirit in our lives that gives us confidence for the present we are lacking nothing. From the presence of the Holy Spirit, we know that God is with us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead gives us confidence and stability in the plans and purposes God has for us today. From this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can be sure that we can trust in all the other promises that God has given us. We can know that God's plans are brought to life by the working of His Spirit, and just like the apostles, no matter the uncertainty of the world around us, we have nothing to fear in our present circumstance. The same God that brought Israel from Egypt and died again for our sins, who defeated death and rose again, is dwelling within us. How great is our hope! I believe that 2 Corinthians 4:7-10 and 16-18 puts it much better than I possibly could. Paul writes, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that their surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For in this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look to things that are not seen, but are transient, but the things that are not seen and are transient, but the things that are unseen and eternal. Because we have this confidence in the present, because of the gift of the Spirit of God, we can be assured in our future. No matter what may come to pass in our lives, the promise of God's love holds true. Romans 8:28 states, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things of present nor things to come, nor powers nor principalities, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Persecution may come, uncertainty may bear its head, but no matter the circumstances, we can rejoice and have peace through faith in our God." Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by our faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Later on, or previous, in John's Gospel, John says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives, but do not be afraid or let your hearts be troubled." If we are fearing for the future, all we must do is listen to the Word of God. For Proverbs 1:33 says, "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and at ease without dread of disaster." God does not promise a guaranteed life without hardship, but He does promise that He is a refuge in times of distress. And He will be our rock in times of turbulence. David knew this to be true, for he spent many years running for his life from Saul. He hid in caves. He was hunted down like an animal. But he cries out, such as in Psalm 18, 30-31, where he says, "This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those that take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" During the difficult times, our weaknesses will show. The cracks in our humanity will be revealed. But God gives us the grace that is sufficient to go through and persevere in the perilous times ahead. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults and hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Finally, God promises us something far greater than anything that this world can offer. Jesus said in John chapter 3, 13 to 19, "No one has ascended into heaven except for he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is our great hope." Romans 8, 12 to 18 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption of sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." It is because of this hope given to us in the Word of God, proved true by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we as a church can look to the future and instability of this world and have confidence. For if we wait patiently in the hope that we have in the promise of eternal life, well dwelling in the contentment that the Spirit gives us, we will cause the world to stare and go, "What gives them that great hope?" So then, we should live in light of the eternal nature of God's promises. We can have confidence in the present, and we can have hope for the future. Will we allow this confidence we have in God's promises to govern over our lives? Or will we take hold of the world's feeble attempts to give us confidence that doesn't last? Will we take hold of the promises of God? God has given us his Spirit and the promise of eternal life. These two promises, one fulfilled and the other yet to come, should cause us to completely live different in the life and in the world around us, knowing our confidence is not found in the temporal, but in the eternal. What would our lives look like if we took this confidence completely to heart? The people of this world are longing for a hope to cling to. They grasp at this world, and it is like sand. It runs through their fingers, and they try to keep it one grain at a time, but it slips through. They're looking for something that they can grasp confidently, something that they can put their faith in. But that confidence is only found in God and God alone. This world looks at us and the church to give them and to show them that hope in which we hold in God and in His Spirit and His Word and in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Each of us has the ability to give that message, to influence the world around us, and daily exemplify the Spirit of Christ and the confidence that we can hold in our faith. You can make a difference in the world, in your world around you. And the Lord is with us every step of the way. So do not fear the times, the trials, the tribulations, the uncertainty of this world, because the Lord is our rock, and we can stand on His promises knowing that we have an eternal life to look forward to with Him forever in glory. Let us pray in conclusion. Lord, we thank You for what You have given us, the confidence to step forward and the confidence that we have in Your Word and the promises. You have set Your Spirit upon our hearts that we might know You, Lord, and that we might know that Your Word is to be trusted and that Your promises are fulfilled every day. You are eternal, You are powerful, and You are mighty and awesome. You have everything within Your hand, and You fulfill Your promises in Your time. Lord, we bow before Your sovereignty, and we know that we can trust in You and You alone. This world comes up with shifting sands and ideas of where to put our trust, but we trust in You alone. And Lord, may we move forward in this new year, every day living out our faith, knowing I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ, and indwelling in me is the Spirit of God, and I have a hope in eternal life and rest with Him forever. Lord, that is our life, that is our call. And we pray that this year we would show that and that we would rest in You and Your Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.